Hello and welcome to another episode of It Was Mooney, your source for all things movie, streaming, and pop culture related. I'm your host, Cosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And we're joined in studio today by special guest, friend of the show. What's up, brother? Ali.
How you doing, man?
Say what's up to everybody, man.
Hello, how you guys doing?
Good to have you back. Doing great.
Good to have you here, Ali. Good to have you, shit, bro.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. Welcome. And obviously, just a shout out to Maurice, buddy, wherever you are, man. Our live studio officers, wherever you are, we miss you. So come back to us.
Poor Maurice has been missing, Ali.
Yeah, as you can see, he's not even here.
The live studio ostrich.
Oh, I was just like, who are you guys talking about? No, like,
he's literally like always there, but yeah, he's like, yeah, it's kind of, yeah. So Maurice, we love you and miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
So,
where's Maurice, bro?
That's the $20 question.
It's like that movie, Dude, Where's My Car?
Where's my Maurice?
Yeah, man. Yeah. So Dude, Where's My Ostrich coming out this fall on NBC. But no, I thank you. I thank you for showing up, Ali. But Juan, what we got on tap for today's show, brother?
All right. So today we have some more trailer trash for you guys. We go over the trailers for Nosferatu, ooh, the Heretic trailer, and the Kaiju Number 8 trailer.
The eighth one.
Then we lean into a bit of a, I guess, retrospective / review for the show Demon Slayer.
Great show.
Not just the current season that's airing right now, but go over basically the past couple seasons, the story of the show, where we are so far and where we're going. And last, we kind of accidentally skipped over this last week.
Sorry,
we,
guys.
We messed up on this a little bit, but we review our one shot for Sound of Phonium.
Yes.
We set it up a couple weeks ago with old Jimbo.
Yeah, man.
Jimothy. And so we give you that review and see what we thought. Give us that one shot review.
Man, we got a great show, man.
So first of all, how are you doing today, Oli? How's your day been?
I'm doing good. I actually thought about something because we were thinking about like where we were trying to say one of the things we should definitely talk about actually is the TNT crew and how it's going to be like their last year.
Quick
sports ball section.
Is that actually going to happen? Are they going to just
think Charles Barkley is going to retire?
As of
I
now,
just remembered.
He guaranteed. Chuck's guarantees don't mean shit, but
man.
He said he's going to retire at the end of next season. As of right now, I'm not sure if they officially announced it. But it seems like TNT has lost the rights at this point.
And also,
I think it went to NBC, right?
It went to NBC.
And for listeners at home, just real quick, there's a show on TNT. It's like a basketball recap show. It's hosted by four former players.
Inside
the NBA, Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, Kenny Jet Smith, and who's the last one?
Charles Barkley.
Also Ernie.
Ernie Johnson.
Ernie Shaq, Johnson. Charles.
Yeah. It's a great show. They're running for over a decade, more than that, on TNT.
I think it's supposed to 2 decades, honestly.
Yeah, and they're about to, I guess their license ran out with TNT, so they're going to disband.
Basically, the TV rights for the new NBA games were coming up, right? TNT's had them forever. It's been TNT and ESPN with ABC getting the finals. ABC is part of ESPN anyway. So that's been like that for years. And then, of course, the local providers get local games.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you guys recall, for the Rockets, we used to get Fox Sports.
Mm. Yeah.
Fox Sports, Rockets, stuff like that. Most teams have those local affiliates.
Right.
But yeah, so TNT, they haven't had as many games. They usually just have that Thursday night. Those Thursday night games?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think they encroached a little bit on Tuesday night, but that was mostly NBA TV. But it was completely famous, Emmy winning.
Still famous.
Honestly, best sports show on TV as far as like halftime show.
I must agree. It's
100%.
The best.
Yeah. Just the things that made it great, obviously the chemistry between the hosts.
The comedy.
It's not
the shenanigans.
You watch most other halftime shows. There's a couple of like decent ones on football where it's actually guys talking shop, talking strategy, what's going on in the game. You get some decent insight. You get some solid insight with these guys too. But it's you know the jokes.
It's the entertainment.
It's them running up to the screen. Is Charles Barkley making fun of San Antonio women and calling Galveston water dirty?
They got some big old woman.
No, it really. It really really did feel like we're like watching a bunch of friends, older guys who played the NBA, so they have all this knowledge, but on top of the knowledge, they're just having a whole lot of fun. So it's so fun to watch.
Barbershop talks.
Yeah, barbershop talk. And it was not always PC. It was great. It was great to see.
It was never
that.
PC.
Yeah, it was never ever PC. So
we
it was
had
great to
some,
see.
Seminal moments. If you recall, I sort of called Dwight Howard going on that show. Right after he lost with Houston, and kind of calling out Daryl Morey, and then Shaq in particular, he used to hate on Dwight Howard. So Shaq and Chuck and them were kind of hard on him. Just these like different moments where we got, it just felt more real than most of the, especially yeah. compared to the ESPN, which is
the
obviously
one,
the
two,
biggest.
Back to one.
Yeah.
It was the 1-2-3. So yes, it's supposed to be 1-2-3. The one back to
my favorite memory from inside the NBA was they had this thing called they called it the Black Masters. So they all come together and they play golf tournament.
I remember this,
the Black Masters tournament, and they have it for every year. And like, you know, either Kenny or Shaq or
Charles
would win. It was always Charles at the end. Yeah. But one year, I think it was like 2021. Ernie and his son were playing, and Ernie won. So so they had to have Charles Barkley put on the jacket Ernie, so like a white dude won the Black Masters tournament that year. And it was cuz like, and like Ernie's like on, like he's a white guy, but like he's so like with
he's
the culture
super
and like
black.
He's
yeah.
like just
he's
by association
super,
super
yeah,
cool and just
sure.
great announcer, just an illustrious career. So like it's funny to see him just kind of like it's kind of weird, but okay, I'll take it. We didn't win, so love Ernie. I hope they keep him together. This will suck if
well,
we can't.
Well, I know that Ernie is probably going to stay with CNN / TNT or the Turner people or whatever. And as far as Charles retiring, he's the kind of guy, if you throw him cash, he'll come back.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if either. I mean, ESPN right now, I guarantee you they're looking at throwing him a completely life-changing offer.
100%.
I honestly don't think there's any salvage in ESPN show unless they just recommit to their vision for what a halftime show is entirely. Because, I mean, they got guys like Michael Wilbon on there. Michael Wilbon used to be great. You know, Michael Wilbon's a great commentator. Michael
great
Wilbon's,
writer. Great writer, too.
Great
yeah.
writer.
Yeah.
He was doing a Pardon the Interruption for
great
years
show.
With Tony
with,
Kornheiser.
Who's the other guy with him on that show?
Tony Kornheiser.
White guy. Oh, I forget his name.
I'm saying his name, bro.
That's his name. Okay, sorry. Okay. Yeah, sorry. My bad.
I just repeated it and everything.
Not the correct name.
Yeah. Tony, I think it's Kornheiser or something. Mm-hmm.
It's Kornheiser, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely terrific. So he's capable of giving great commentary. They got Stephen A. on there, who's at least capable of giving bombastic, maybe not super interesting, but at least
entertainment value.
Giving you some entertainment. Yeah. But all they really do is, you know, Stephen A. talks for a minute, then Wilbon talks for a minute, then what is America? What's her name?
I don't remember the name, but the issue with them is they always have like a halftime show, but they don't have an after game show. What they instead go to, they go straight to SportsCenter.
But
that's their problem.
Scott,
so they never
Scott
have
Scott
like.
Pell is actually pretty amazing.
He's really great at that after game.
No, for sure. But it's only one
true
person,
one
and
guy.
It's still like Sports Center. But like if that crew that they have, if they had time to talk, I think they might be able to build something. But the worst thing you can give a crew is just the halftime, which is just like 10 minutes.
They only really get like 4 minutes. If you actually look at the ESPN halftime shows, okay, Stephen A. says, oh, the Knicks are playing great. They're playing good, tough basketball. Okay, cut to the girl. I can't remember her name. She says, oh, good vision, Stephen A. That's an interesting take. Let's pass it to you, Wilbon. What do you think? Wilbon, no, I think both teams are playing hard. I think they're turning around. Oh, okay, now it's time for the fourth guy, who now is Bob Myers, the Golden State GM.
It's always,
the ex-GM.
It's always
then,
like a floater.
You know, they have like five. It's like a 5-minute talk at most with each person talking once, and then, okay, cut to commercial.
Yeah.
And they come back, oh, let's talk about Stephen A. What do you think? Okay, you know what? Never mind. Let's cut to commercial again. It's more commercials than actual conversation.
With the halftime, it's always been that way. I mean, it's the same with like the TNT stuff. It's just they just have an advantage of having like a 45-minute to an hour show.
Of course. Yeah.
Where those guys straight up don't have it. Yep. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because like instead they promote SportsCenter over the
here's the thing.
Post game that they would have for NBA, which is the smart thing to do. It's just, I don't know why they never said, because they just need time.
Yep.
Just need time to talk.
Scott Van Pelt is so good at SportsCenter and so good at that post game that I don't mind that. If you want something to watch, it doesn't give you as much just NBA, but it gives you a good insight into sports in general. He's a treasure. But again, yeah. their halftime, you actually get something from watching the TNT halftime show, yeah. right? You actually get some insight. Even the NBA TV halftime show back in the day with like Chris Webber and stuff, you still have some insight. These guys are just setting up commercials.
So do you think moving forward, they're going to keep them together just to... Going forward, will they keep them together, or are they just?
I
mean,
I don't know who they is.
Like, well, I guess since Chuck is going to retire, so Shaq, Kenny,
No, but I mean, who's keeping them together? Like, maybe ESPN throws them an offer.
I thought maybe TNT would like.
I could have seen like Charles Barkley. I think he has a production company. I could have seen him trying to keep the gang together and sell the show as
a package.
But he's announced he's retiring, so
that's fair.
It's hard to say.
You know what?
If they throw enough money at him, he'd probably consider it.
I think this next year's or last year's. If so, hey, great run, guys. I'll be definitely tuning in. It's end of an era, so nah, man, that's wild.
Yeah, definitely going to be incredible to see. It's always a bummer when you get to the end of the Western Conference Finals and you know there's no more
NBA.
There's
no more of them,
And it's just, I mean, the Jeff Van Gundy and, what's his name, Mark Jackson used to be pretty fun.
Yeah, they're great.
They were awesome.
The game.
They got
a little stale a little bit towards the end. There's a new crew with Doris Burke and J.J. Redick was not, and I guess J.J.'s gone now.
J.J.'s gone now.
So they're going to have to get another person.
Shout out to J.J.
Doc Rivers was on there earlier.
Yeah, Doc Rivers also gone. It's supposedly part of the reason they got rid of, what's this guy? Van Gundy?
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy was because they were scared he was going to go to coach.
Oh, and then
at least the stated reason that they were scared he was going to go coaching.
Well, they actually.
And now he's an analyst now.
Fuck Jeff, because they fired him at the worst time to be able to even get a job. So, like, his brother, if I'm not mistaken, went on the.
Good old Stan.
Yes, yeah, Stan went Stan on the man. Dan, what was it? It was a show in Florida. No. Not Dan Patrick. Nope. The other Dan.
McAfee?
Dan.
What was his name?
Fuck, I don't remember his name.
Levitard?
Dan Levitard.
Yeah, Dan Levitard, yeah.
Dan Levitard's show. Stan went in there just like, yeah, they fucked over my brother. Awesome. He had like a whole spiel on it.
For a minute, yeah. Man.
But yeah. Dan Levitard made his money at ESPN.
Yeah, but then they straight up said like, yo, ESPN fucked over my brother. They're like, damn, okay. All right, cool. Like, he did a whole spiel about it. Like, if you go see it. Like, he was super pissed at him.
That's cold.
Yeah. That's cold. They fucked him over. They fucked over.
He's a good commentator.
He's a
great on TNT. You know who's grown into a good commentator real quick before we end this segment? Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller's
excellent. I used to hate Reggie Miller.
I still hate
Reggie Miller's an excellent commentator.
Fucking hate him so much.
Give him more of a chance.
Dude, I've been listening to him for years.
He was better this year. You don't think so, Cosi? Am I
no,
crazy?
No, I love Reggie Miller as a commentator. Also,
I think
player,
he's gotten better.
He's comes off as rude, brash.
He's not as
kind of
corny
brash,
as he used to be. He actually has.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah.
For
he's
me,
not as corny as he used to be.
He's not as corny as he used to be. It's just his timing, the way like a dunk happens, just like, oh, there goes LeBron.
I'll admit, Reggie Miller used to be my least favorite commentator, so I see exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him a shout out. I'm not saying he's top tier now.
If you want to say he's mid tier, fair.
He's improved. Yeah. He's at the point where it's like, I don't hate a Reggie Miller call.
Yeah.
I don't hate a Reggie Miller
call
anymore.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
That's fair. He has improved.
I get where you're coming from. He used to be easily my least favorite.
Yeah, he's just annoyed the
Reggie
shit
Miller.
Out of me.
But that Kevin Harlan, sure. Reggie Miller, or sometimes Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, man, it's so great.
You know what?
The All-Star Brown, games.
Sometimes they have
Hubie Brown was dope. I love Hubie Brown so much. Now, he talks basketball now. He talks X's and O's, and he makes it make sense. You know? I love Hubie Brown so much.
He gives you an awesome.
Dude, Ali getting us starting us off hot with some.
Sorry, I just remembered. I'm just like, guys, we got.
I appreciate you bringing us into.
Yeah, man.
But Juan, okay, what's up next for real?
Oh yeah, like the trailers, right? The trailers. Let's go. Let's talk about
trailers.
Trailers
are coming up. Okay, we're gonna head straight into trailer trash. Okay, so off the bat, we're gonna start with the trailer for Nosferatu. Okay, so this trailer. Really cool vibe. It's a bit of a teaser, right?
Yeah, but definitely a teaser into this.
Obviously, Nosferatu, very famous movie, one of those classics, 1920 movies everybody knows,
very iconic.
King Kong, What are some of those movies? Frankenstein.
Yes, one of those early like silent.
Silent
horror movies.
It's one of like everyone knows that classic, with the big goofy ears, that image.
It's a very iconic teeth. Look. Yeah.
The kind of slit eyes, a very very iconic movie look. Exactly. Through the doorway.
I blame everything we do in the shadows for like making that just hilarious now, because there's a character in the movie that looked just like him.
What we do in the shadows was such a great job.
It's great, dumping
on the vampire. Aesthetics of the trailer looked awesome. Yeah. I love the setting. I love the castle.
It looked like some Van Helsing type Transylvania kind of
Europe. Yeah, definitely.
Dude, that's definitely. It's Robert Eggers, man.
Robert Eggers like did some great Eggers. Stuff. He did The Witch. Lighthouse.
Yeah.
The Witch.
The Northman. The
Willem Dafoe is in there, so you know it's going to be good.
Willem Dafoe coming back from after that Lighthouse.
You couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. No, man.
You watch The Lighthouse, Holly, real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like it?
Wild movie. Like one of those movies where it's like I appreciated it more than I liked it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I definitely appreciated the effort.
I appreciated watching it. It's one of the movies I probably have to watch with subtitles.
100%.
We've discussed it a little bit already.
100%.
The seagull scene is still one of the all-time
seagull scenes. So good.
Yeah. As far as sheer unfiltered rage, I don't think I've ever seen a better representation.
It goes on for a bit too long, but I'm still not mad at it because it's rage.
It's the rage of man personified on screen in a way that Robert Eggers does a great job with that.
In the trailer, though, man, like it looked like
symbolically.
Symbolically
showing those emotions and using these scenes, these graphic, interesting cinematography and cuts and scenes to establish these raw emotions. Again, not always enjoyable, not always fun, not for everyone. But definitely a sight to see every time. Go ahead, Ellie. You are having
some no. Before. I was just saying, like at one part of the trailer, it looked like that guy was trying to cut his dick off or something. So, it was some weird ass shit, dude.
Crazy imagery in here. That's Robert Eggers. Insane cast. You got Bill Skarsgård, Nicholas Holt, Lily Rose Depp, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Emma Corrin, who will be in Deadpool Wolverine playing
William Dafoe. We mentioned.
Yeah, it's an incredible cast. But yeah. Take that, but also just the imagery, the hand going over the city.
Oh, the hand over the city was dope.
I don't know if y'all seen the original Nosferatu. It's great. Not. It's not like something you should watch.
No, I've never seen
it. It's not like a...
I didn't hear about it until just right now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's part of horror history, but
never
it's not like...
Never seen that little...
Yeah.
No. It was the first time for me.
You seen that?
Yeah. No. That was the first time for me.
One of those famous scenes.
That was scaring people
in the
20s,
King Kong on top of the...
Okay.
One of those things you just kind of absorb. I never watched the movie.
The bird, though. Okay, bird, bro.
He kind of started chewing on a pigeon while it was alive.
That guy got too hungry. Crazy.
And I love that part where they're all saying, he's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Nosferatu. Like a chant.
Different characters. And then you know what they're going to say. You know, obviously, from the title of the movie, the whole setup.
Yeah.
But it still works. They never even show him.
They never showed him. I think it was like a shadow of him with like a dog next to him or like a wolf next to him
or some
shit.
Or wolves. Yeah. You're right. I'm not sure. Maybe it's supposed to be a werewolf kind of imagery.
Yeah. No, but
it looks
good.
Like it'll be fun. It looks or scary fun.
So like Robert Eggers is a guy kind of like Denis Villeneuve. I'll put in that category where they transport you to wherever they're wherever the movie is, they make sure you're fully immersed in there, and which is why they haven't ever missed in terms of like putting out stuff in terms of like just their theatrical directing. So yeah, I love Eggers stuff. I'm really excited for this. We don't know much. We just know it's a reimagining of that 22 movie. But yeah, I love this. I love this teaser.
Definitely. One last thing. I love how they say. Was it Vampire?
Yeah.
Oh, want to make it sound
the Vampire.
Yeah. Make it sound fancy a little bit. Yeah.
I think the original. I've at least seen spellings where it's with a Y, not vampire with an I, but vampire with a Y. I could see how kind of old timey, Eastern Europeans or old timey Brits pronounce vampire. It just sounds fancy.
It makes it sound a little bit more sophisticated.
It gives a little more of that.
The movie just looks like it's just. Fun to watch though. Just like
it
I definitely
like
want to watch
it. A good
it.
Scare,
yeah.
but a good thoughtful scare.
Yeah.
Not a thriller.
Yeah.
Not a thriller. It'll again that imagery hits you with the emotions, the scenery. He's absolutely great at that. Villeneuve is a great comparison as far as that goes. So yeah, no, hopefully that'll be an exciting movie. When does it come out, Cozy?
It comes out Christmas Day this year, 2024. So 6 months from now.
Interesting juxtaposition with the holidays.
Yeah.
You'll get some Christmas spirit and then go scared out your mind.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it though.
Not the usual Star Wars / Inside Out or a Pixar type.
Yeah, or a family tentpole movie. Nah.
Speaking of Star Wars, is there a Star Wars movie coming out anytime soon?
There's actually a Star Wars show running right now.
There's a show now, yes.
It's called The Acolyte. There are two friends that are more into Star Wars are kind of hating on it. And I've already been hating on Star Wars for a while, other than Andor.
Same. I haven't seen Andor, though. I can't really hate on Andor.
Andor's probably the best Star Wars content
that's
been released, like ever.
Damn.
As far as story-wise. I mean, some of the video games are amazing.
I'd still say Empire is the best, but this definitely feels like some Empire
stuff. It depends
what
you like.
Yeah, it also is
as far
definitely
as
subjective.
Quality
yeah.
of the writing, quality of the character building, everything is easily.
Because Aaron said that Andor was amazing. He just kept on telling me I should watch Andor.
Okay, here, Andor's not a good Star Wars show. Andor's an incredibly good show. That just so happened to have a Star Wars coat of paint.
Yeah, if we stripped away all the other
stuff.
If
you just took away everything that was Star Wars and you just kept the same show, it would still be...
Still
top
compelling.
Contender for show of the year.
Still compelling. Yep.
Fair. Right.
Yep.
Fair.
It was not a show that it involved the trappings of Star Wars, but it was not slavish or devoted to any of the mythos. They didn't care about the whole Star Wars lore mythology. Yeah. They just wanted to create a good show.
But my question is though, like, are they going to restart the story with the movies or something? Are they going to keep the same movies? Or what are they doing?
They still keep the continuity with this.
So with this new movie coming out, the new movie they're working on a new movie right now. It's called Mandalorian and Grogu. It's about the Mandalorian and the child. On like an adventure. That's the next movie. So
it's not like an episodic movie.
No, they're kind of. I think they're working on those.
Trilogy situation.
Yeah, I think they're working on those, but they're not going to release
that
yet.
They did say they were going to have another movie with Daisy Ridley with Rey's character.
But I don't know if it's a trilogy. I think it's just like what they're doing with Mandalorian.
Like what did you guys think about that character?
I actually liked her.
I did like her. Just
as far as an actress and stuff, I thought she was fairly poorly written.
Yeah, just wasn't well used.
So this is where I diverge with a lot of Star Wars fans where, you know, she's poorly written in a lot of the same ways that, frankly, I think Luke Skywalker is poorly written.
It's very much how Luke Skywalker is.
But for some reason, it's really upsetting to some people when Daisy Ridley does it.
Yeah, not sure why.
I don't know if it's just because some people watched Luke Skywalker as a kid, and so it's just easier to root for him. Luke Skywalker is like if you put Link as a character in a movie and pretend that you're a really big fan of that character. You know what I mean? It's not the kind of character you're supposed to be a big fan of.
I don't think I can disagree with any of that. I think you're right on that.
No, he's
the only interesting part about Luke, like at the time, was his dad was Vader. Right, basically. Like that was the most interesting part. It's just like, oh shit, this is dead.
Han Solo and Leia are much more compelling.
Interesting, way more interesting.
Much more
way more fun.
Especially in A New Hope. After New Hope, I believe that Luke really does get interesting. Like from Empire,
Luke does have a solid arc.
His arc's amazing.
I wouldn't say it's amazing. It's dark. It exists.
It's dark, and also whenever he crashes into the planet, you're just like, oh, dude, this setting sucks.
The reason why I say it's dark is I think it sets up that journey we've seen just throughout Hollywood the heroes go through.
Yeah,
he kind of streamlined that.
And maybe people are maybe over it.
It's almost cliche at this point.
That's what it is because back in the day, like it used to be dope. But
especially,
no, just,
you know, so many superhero movies did it in such a by the numbers way.
Yeah.
Right, like the exact same hero's arc.
The formula is the same,
but like just formulaic. At least Star Wars at the time it did it was interesting.
Yeah,
we can go into more detail on that. We'll probably have a more in depth.
We don't
episode.
Have enough time right now, but yeah.
It's definitely fallen off a bit. I'll just say that I have not watched The Acolyte. I have not heard good things about it.
Yeah, I gotta check it out.
I watched Ahsoka almost against my better judgment, and I thought that was terrible. It was interesting for a bit, and then I thought it ended terribly.
I thought it was it could have been great, but it ended up being good.
It was like a 8 to 9 out of 10 through about 3/4 of the way. And
the
last few episodes for me personally were so bad it crashed down to like a 4.
Jesus Christ!
Like, I just thought it was like Game of Thrones where it's like oh my god, this is so bad, it just ruins the rest of the show
for me. I get that.
I can't go back and rewatch.
Yeah, you can't like go back like up to like season six or some shit.
Yeah, I can't just go back and watch part of it.
I get that.
Yeah. So that's our little spiel on Star Wars.
Sorry.
No, it's all good.
I'm really sidetracking you guys.
We love getting sidetracked on this show. Don't worry.
I'm glad you're here, man. Hell yeah, dude.
Always glad to see you, man. Always glad to see you.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you. All
right, so we're going to move on to the next trailer. I think it was called Heretic.
Dude, Evil Hugh Grant.
Evil Hugh Grant. That's basically the byline of this movie.
That's a selling
so
point.
Basically the concept of the trailer, these two...
they're Mormons.
Is it Mormons? I thought it was Jesuits.
No, they're Mormon missionaries.
They're Mormon missionaries, actually?
Mm-hmm.
They're Mormon. Okay. You know what Jesuits too? Is it because the Jesuits are usually the ones knocking on your door?
Yeah.
So they're the type of Christians that knock on your door to try to convert your ass. Try to sell you on.
And he was like, come in. Have some pie.
So he kind of sells it. So first of all, it's Hugh Grant. I mean, obviously, he's a little older, a little different. But I mean, you know, we all remember him for some rom-coms.
Mickey Blue Eyes.
A lot of rom-coms.
Dude is charming. Dude oozes charm.
Yeah.
He does not ooze at all scary or dangerous or
even
uh-oh.
Even when he's in a scary movie, he actually does a pretty good job.
I've never seen him in a scary movie
He's never
before.
Been scary.
If you watch The Gentleman, that's probably the closest where he got uncomfortable.
He's sleazy. Oh. Sleazy.
Yeah. But that wasn't scary, though, because like The Gentleman, he was just like sleazy is exactly what
he
said.
He's not scary.
Yeah.
But it did show he had more range than just the rom-com.
He definitely he was amazing.
I think he was the bad guy in Paddington 2.
He was a bad guy in Paddington 2.
Have not seen it.
Great, incredible movie. He was a
incredible
bad guy
movie. So that's the closest we've ever seen to Hugh Grant being an actual villain. And even then, he's one of those charming
villains where you're like, charming, I kind of like you, man. Yeah, keep going.
You don't
I'm
like
rooting
him.
For you.
He's actually a terrible person. He's a horrific person.
Yeah.
So you're not rooting for him at all. But it's still charming as opposed to like scary or unsettling.
Yeah.
So he definitely turns on the scarier. It's not the kind of role we're used to seeing from him at all. But somehow, you just instantly buy it.
It worked. Yeah. Right? It worked immediately.
You don't have to sell it. You're not sitting there saying, oh, Hugh Grant can't pull this off. He immediately sells you on the idea.
I believe those
the
two
moment
were neighbor.
He walked away from the table, you're like,
oh the
shit.
Camera pans down to the camera.
Yeah. That was such a good pan out.
There's a very clever scene where, okay, the girls ask, okay, we can only come in if there's a woman present. And he says, yeah, my wife's here. And then there's a smell of a pie. And then so he goes in the kitchen and says, oh, hey, you know, I'm going to go finish my pie. Suddenly they look down at the candle that's on the table they're sitting at. And it's the candle, the smell of blueberry pie.
Yeah. Yep.
So they start to realize, you know, who bakes a pie while having a candle that smells like pie.
Yeah, it was just well done. It was well done.
So they start trying to get out and realize they can't. They're trapped. There's some religious overtones to it. He tries to make him choose between like a belief and a disbelief.
He wrote like a disbelief door. Yeah, that was
but
cool.
At the end of the trailer, they mostly have just kind of the standard kind of horror type scenes, girl running away from
scary
stuff.
Yeah, it was a scene like where a girl was like behind the girl or some shit. Cause
yeah,
was
some
part of her face was
it looked like a
there.
Leper.
Or yeah, some kind of monster.
It reminded me of a leper. I don't know.
Yeah, I can see it. Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah.
The king.
It reminded me of one of like, and lepers tend to have biblical significance.
For sure.
So I could see how. That was just my thought. It could just be. Like,
No.
They don't give a clear.
I'm completely with you on that.
They don't give a clear image.
Remember that final shot where she's running in that maze? Like it pans up above her and she's like,
So, in the maze.
They do the title card.
Yeah. So, like in the maze, it was like a small, like, miniature house or like a castle
of
some kind.
Like rat mazes.
No, and she was in it.
Yeah.
Like they zoomed out and it was still in the room. We were like,
she climbs up. It was a cool shot, actually.
It was a dope shot.
You saw the whole maze.
That was dope.
And I don't know. It's just that we like kind of askew angle. Because we've seen a lot of panning over the maze type shots in action movies or thrillers or whatever, Shining, all this stuff.
We shot in John Wick recently.
I don't know, had that kind of weird tilt to it where it's like, okay, this is unsettling.
It's completely unsettling, and like you're still in the room like as if like they really went small. Like they just went like a small
table all of a
sudden,
like
straight up.
She
like
looks
a rat.
Like a rat within
exactly.
A maze.
And he's like caught, and he's basically caught in, she's caught in his trap.
The metaphor, of course, of him manipulating, and you know, she's trying to escape. She's moving along this maze.
Yeah.
Thinks she's making choices.
That's what they get. I hate him.
Super skeptical.
Don't invite him to your house.
All this for knocking. No, like
all this for knocking. trying to sell Jesus.
No, I'm looking at this, and it's written and directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods. Those are the guys that did the Quiet Place movies. So this is like they're kind of doing a project outside of, you know, what they've been doing in there.
So yeah, it's really cool. That new Quiet Place movie. So exactly. They have to make something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like, I'm really excited for this. So again, that was a great just teaser. Hugh Grant.
I know,
so.
That was a good little trailer.
When does it come? I guess. It
was just coming soon. They said right. Yeah, okay. They just said it's coming soon.
It'll be released November 15th.
But speaking of the Quiet Place, actually, did you guys watch the sequel for it? Was it good?
Oh, yes.
I only watched the first one. Oh, my it was great.
I thought the sequel was comparable in quality to the first.
Okay.
I'd say it's just as good as well.
Okay.
I still think the first one's a better movie, but the sequel's
the first one had just wins for originality.
Yeah.
But the sequel has...
And they're about to come out with a prequel, right?
They are about to come out with a prequel.
Yes.
Right. Mentioning that. These guys didn't get the...
Yeah.
They didn't get to make the prequel.
Right? Yeah. They got it. That's what you guys are saying right now.
Yeah, that's what we're referencing. Yeah, so it's a prequel. Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
Looks
awesome.
We actually discussed a little bit of Quiet Place Part 2 had Cillian Murphy as this redneck good guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man, he's amazing.
That's
character.
When he started selling me in particular on, okay, this guy has range. He's not just creepy thin man. He's not just a creepy weirdo.
I love Cillian Murphy so much. He's such a good actor.
Everything he's in. Yeah. I really think
that was... That role helped lead him into his success with Oppenheimer.
Okay, I can see that.
I mean, I'm not saying it's like the only, he always is a skilled actor.
Yeah.
But I think it was a good jumping point for him playing kind of a more of an everyman.
He was definitely on a wave
more of a
after
down-to-earth
that.
Character.
That's fair.
Because there are those scenes in Oppenheimer where he's kind of a rural guy. He likes the farm life. He likes riding horses. And I think it helps sell that when you got that.
Show that other side to him. So this movie looks awesome. So
Heretic coming out November 15th.
Yeah.
I would watch that movie.
All right. So, last trailer. So, this is a little bit different from the way we usually do trailers because this actually, the show is already out. You can already watch it out today. It's already
I think it's on episode 8 right now, but it's still coming weekly.
10 or 12 probably?
It's probably 12, if I had to guess. It's always 12
usually
or 24
anime,
for seasons.
Usually anime seasons are 12 for the season, and then they'll have a season 1 that's split into 2, so that's 24.
Yeah.
Or they'll just have it called one season as 12 episodes. It just depends on the anime.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's called Kaiju Number 8.
Yes.
Kaiju Number 8. Ollie will tell us a little bit more about it because he's been watching it, but just a quick recap of the trailer. It seems basically we have a world where kaijus are at least a regular, semi-regular appearance.
Yes.
To the point where, you know, they have a...
Like a force against them.
Defense force?
Yeah, like a defense force.
Defense force. And it's almost like a rote, like a... It's like a, almost like a workplace thing, right?
Yes.
Like they're like, apply for it. They, you know...
100%.
Like, they have like cleaners cutting up the monsters and like taking them apart. It's not quite like a Godzilla... Or at least from the trailer, I think the trailer emphasized more the workman quality of it. At least at the beginning, and then so we cut to this guy that wants to join the defense force. Him and his buddy, and I think he's failed or has not been able to get into the defense force, not pass the test or whatever. And then some kind of weird bug parasite thing attaches himself or like is swallowed by him. And he becomes a kaiju.
Yes.
Right? He becomes a kaiju. Attack on Titan. I was thinking maybe Ben 10.
Yeah, a little bit.
I haven't seen Ben 10.
Sorry. Other shows where, or Blue Beetle even.
Also Chainsaw Man a little bit too.
Chainsaw Man a little bit.
That whole
Ingesting the monster.
Becoming like an... A kind of a monstrous but powerful and good force.
Yes.
Right? So that concept we've seen before a few times.
Mm.
And then, it seems like we, you know, kind of the trailer.
So sell
leads
us on
up
the show,
to
Ollie.
The first episode, like, it starts off with, like, that big ass fucking Godzilla monsters basically getting destroyed by this force or whatever. And then the scene, like, essentially starts with, like, your main character being up part of the cleanup crew, and so he knows a lot about the monsters. He knows how their intestine works and their like biology and everything works on them, but he also wants to join the defense force, and this is the only thing he could do to basically help. And he was going through the training area to get to the force, essentially, and then he got injured. And then this small-ass thing went inside his mouth, and now he's all of a sudden a human-sized kaiju, essentially. And he is super strong and stuff like that, but he can't be found out that he's a kaiju, because if he does, they'll immediately
kill
his ass. That's essentially how the first episode goes, and I highly recommend you guys watch it, because I force these guys to watch the trailer. But I think you guys should definitely check the show out and even do like a review off the first episode for like the next episode.
It looked awesome.
You guys will really enjoy. I highly recommend it.
It looked pretty cool.
It is really, really dope.
Who made this, Ali? Do you know?
I don't know the writer. It's a fucking Japanese writer, bro. Like, I can pull it up for you.
Yeah. It says here, like, a person by the name of Naya Matsumoto who wrote it. Published by Shueisha. Shueisha is a very, very prolific production studio.
They made
everything from, geez, the list goes on, but like...
Tristan was the one that forced me to watch the show when he was over at my house with his wife and his kid. Yeah, like he straight up said, watch this.
Tristan? Okay.
The episode just came out, watch it. This is really good. I've read the manga. Right. You need to watch this. I'm like, okay. And then I watch it, and me and Moral were like, oh. This show is amazing. I want more. All right. Like, I'm more excited for this to come out over Demon Slayer or any other show that's out right now. Because, like, all I've been watching right now is just anime. Mm-hmm. And, like, we get excited. I was like, Kaiju number 8 is out. It's Saturday. It's coming out. Like, it's like that for me right now. So, like, I'm excited for it. Like, every week it's coming out.
That's excellent to hear.
Yeah. We'll
have to look into it.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate that kind of mini preview.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Speaking of Demon Slayer,
yeah, right,
what a great segue!
Good segue.
So we're gonna take a little bit of time today to discuss the Demon Slayer show as a whole, kind of give our thoughts, overall review. Obviously, the show is not completed yet,
but the manga is.
It's still in the process. The manga is completed. We're gonna avoid spoilers and keep it to the show, just for the people who have been show only. Mm. We don't want to give them any spoilers. But yeah, basically Demon Slayer, quick little kind of overview. It's basically the show, a show set in feudal Japan, right? There's still kind of samurai, there's still lots of swords and sandals and stuff, right? Very traditional, very, I can't remember what the era's called, the specific era, but that kind of, I don't know, shogunate type era.
Right.
The
show, like... definitely starts out like without you knowing like that's the kind of show it is, because like it starts out like with a kid just trying to go through the winter, just trying to grab a bunch of wood and stuff, right?
Like when it some
wood,
place.
But even the wood basket, the way he's dressed and stuff, kind of gives you the
for sure.
It's not exactly modern Japan, right?
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
So it's a world, like we've seen in quite a few other animes, it's a world where they have demons, right? The demons in this particular world get destroyed immediately by the sun. They can only move around in dark. They're kind of vampires in another way, in the sense that if they kind of bite or transfer their blood to their victims, they can make the victims into demons. Right.
Yes.
They don't. They're not just kind of spirits or something. Every demon can actually trace their blood flow to kind of one original demon.
Yeah.
Right. Who
His name was Muzan or something?
Yeah, Muzan.
Muzan.
I call him Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson from Smooth Criminal.
He kind of does look like Michael Jackson.
Like Smooth Criminal Michael Jackson, in particular.
Like off the bat. And then he turns into a child.
White suit. With
the hat.
He's a girl at a few times, too. They actually, in the trailer.
He does turn into a girl.
The opening theme for the new season, they show him all his different forms.
Like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, they do.
He's a shapeshifter.
Okay.
He just can't go in the sun.
Yeah. And when he was a kid, I think he killed his mom and his dad. Like, the fake mom and dad that he has, because, like, when he was a kid, because he got pissed at one time.
Oh, right.
Killed the shit out of him. Yeah.
No, he did. I don't think it was mom and dad. It was, like, his caretakers.
Or something.
Was that shown in one of the movies? I kind of vaguely remember that.
That was shown.
They showed it in the movie.
See, that was the finale of season 3.
Thank you. Okay.
That was the train one. Yeah, it was the train movie.
Not the train one. It was the one.
Wasn't it the end of the train movie?
The season three with the love Hashira.
Yeah,
Hashira with all the emotions.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, that was the demon with all the emotions.
Like,
that
fantastic split itself.
Incredible fight, by the way.
And then so that was the
You're right.
That was the scene where let's cut back a little bit.
Sorry.
So there's this bad guy,
Muzan.
We'll call him Muzan. He has like a full name.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Evil Michael Jackson.
So demon Michael Jackson. He was even white, so he's definitely Demon Michael Jackson. So Demon Michael Jackson basically transfers blood into other demons, and he, at some point we go to this kid Tanjiro, just this random kid in feudal Japan getting wood in the winter for his family, and he comes back to his family home, and they're all dead. They've all been killed. I think the show says they've been killed by him, by the main demon.
Yeah.
And then in that, he finds out most of his family is dead except for his, it's still younger, but the oldest of his youngest siblings, his sister.
Yeah.
Nezuko. Yeah.
Nezuko.
She is a demon. Yes. She has been made into a demon. Now, demons forget their human form. Most of them can't talk. They're basically like raw vampires. If you ever watch I Am Legend, that vibe.
They can't survive in the sun.
Survive in the sun.
No.
Nezuko sees Tanjiro, who's the main character, and she immediately tries to kill him. But, you know, I guess some part of the love for her brother manages to shine through some memory.
Mm-hmm.
So she basically becomes a friendly demon.
Yes.
The only one. The only one who's not bloodthirsty. She even has like a coma phase where she like...
Yeah, she sleeps for like two months straight
in a box or something.
Yeah.
And then when she comes out, not only is she not dead from the lack of blood...
She's got a bamboo in her mouth.
Most demons need... Yeah, she got a bamboo so she doesn't bite people. Most demons need blood to survive. So she no longer needs human blood to survive. She still can't see the sun.
But she just needs sleep.
Yeah, she's friendly.
That's all she needs.
Yeah, she does benefit from blood, but she doesn't need it.
Yeah. Who needs blood? We just
all the other ones do. All the other ones need to feed.
She's got the definition of plot armor on her side all the way.
Yeah, as far as her demon powers, you could tell basically she's kind of turning human just through the love for her brother.
Yeah, right.
And then so at this point, so we have these demons, and then we have this force of humans who fights against them, mm-hmm. right? The demon hunters.
Yeah.
Or demon slayers, sorry.
Demon slayers. Yeah.
And so that's the name of the show.
Demon Slayer Corps.
Demon Slayer Corps.
Corp.
I think what's cool is that like Tanjiro's mission throughout the show has been, hey, let me cure my sister. But then it kind of puts him on a collision course with the demon hunter corps, and he just meets, you know, his crew, Zenitsu, and
he actually meets the bad guy early on because one of his unique powers is that Tanjiro has an, like, you know, basset hound level sense of smell.
Smells underwater, bro. Oh.
Yeah, he can smell underwater.
Oh, for real?
That's kind of cool.
He can smell, like, he just has an unbelievable sense of smell.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a superpower.
To the point where he actually runs into the main villain just because he smells the same
smell around his family.
Stench from where people had killed his family.
I think because demons in that world may have a smell.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He specifically smells this guy.
He smelled Michael Jackson.
Like, and the reason...
Michael Jackson specifically, not just a demon. Okay.
And the reason why Michael Jackson in particular wants to kill his family, if I'm not mistaken, is because of his... I think it's because of his earring. His earring, but they don't pursue exactly what it is.
His lineage,
the full detail... But supposedly, the only thing this Michael Jackson dude fear is the dude with the sunlight earrings.
Yeah.
If y'all have probably seen the pictures that
it's Tanjiro's signature.
But it's not just from the show. It's like that sunlight image from like the flag of Japan.
It's right there, man.
Oh, the rising sun.
Oh yeah, Koshi has a Demon Slayer.
Oh, this was not on purpose.
Demon Slayer shirt. Yeah, but the rising sun, the famous rising sun image, so they had that on their earrings. And so it's implied, they haven't really explained it yet, but it's implied Michael Jackson fears that. You know, that's why he attacked the family.
That's why he killed the family originally.
Because he's trying to just wipe that out.
Right? Even now, to this point in season 4, they haven't fully explained
Yeah.
What that connection
And I don't want to talk about it because it's going to be spoilers.
I must say,
at least with the manga, we have not.
I must say, as a person isn't really watch, I've only seen the movies and a couple of the episodes. The one thing that stuck out most that puts this above and just separates it from every other anime out there is the animation. This is absolutely gorgeous animation, like
the fighting animation,
fire, yeah. No, stuff like fire and smoke. They make it look. Everything. It's just it sets it apart in a way.
So one of the
it's so gorgeous.
Gimmicks is that all the samurai sword fighting, they have what are called breathing styles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they'll say, okay, we have a water breathing style,
thunder,
and water form number three, and they'll show this crazy animation with the sword flowing with water.
Yeah, like a wave, yeah.
Or like fire, or wind,
or a dragon comes out, yeah.
Or dragon, or a big snake, or something.
Yep.
Supposedly, is that it's not actually happening. Like, supposedly, there's no real fire and wind and all this stuff. It's just the sword fighting. It's just like a visual representation of how
of their
cool
style.
Their,
I can buy
of
that.
Their, it's cool the sword fighting. I honestly don't, because there's a few times where it's like, all right, man, that it looks like actual lightning. Like,
right.
You move, like, the guy does a lightning
it's
move.
It's the lightning step.
The guy does a lightning step and then moves way faster than anybody else can move.
Mitsu can actually
you know
do
what
that.
I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
he's a flash.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
He breathed, dude. He can breathe and do
yeah,
it.
I'm not sure.
He's breathing lightning, bro. Chill.
Yeah, so it does throw you off. The show does play a little bit liberally with, oh, hey, this isn't really happening, but the animation looks so much like it's happening that it's hard to tell, you know.
That's what drew me in as like a casual. Like this doesn't. It didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in anime currently. So I was like, wow, like
it's not. Yeah, and the quality, the sheer quality of the images, the fight scenes. That's really the peak of the show. As far as the plot and story goes, it's a pretty generic.
It is pretty generic.
Hero story type of thing.
Yeah.
Right. A
lot of bullshit happens that shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. A lot of you know, it's there's some character arcs and some fun stuff, but nothing. It's more like more fun, happy go lucky.
For sure.
It's not super in depth. There's some sad moments, but not overly sad or devastating.
Yeah.
What I like about it is that it kind of, almost like Dragon Ball Z. There's this underlying thing of, you know, testing your limits,
yes,
bursting your limits, becoming something better, and always like getting better. It kind of seems like corny and cliche now because everyone's so kind of like jaded, but like it's really cool, like and also the importance of friendship and family. It's like really reminding you of Dragon Ball Z, and like it's
the
really
formula
cool
for that anime has been there before, and it's been there, it's going to be here now, it's going to be here forever, but like they do it like in a way it's just like interesting.
It feels
visually
refreshing. Yeah, it's refreshing
in that way,
and the characters are just fun.
The characters
oh my gosh,
are fun.
Yeah.
That, like,
the main character is super positive. Like, super
yes,
positive.
He's not positive, like Superman almost.
The animation, yeah, and especially when they're talking and stuff, the little facial expressions, the goofy.
Oh, man. Like, the
goofy little Tanjiro.
The comedic
faces.
Beats are great.
The comedic beats on the show are
Zenitsu
fantastic.
Is great. Inosuke is great.
Inosuke.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially with the sister, like with her eyes, whenever she's got the bamboo in her mouth, just like whoa.
Yeah, it's a show that really balances like really horrible, horrifying stuff with like hilarious, light, fun stuff within this whole story.
For sure.
So like you get
definitely
something for everybody.
Main reason to recommend it is amazing art style, amazing animation,
easy to consume.
Yeah. The reason why it's so popular, the first Demon Slayer movie, Mugen Train, which is kind of like the first half of season two, basically. Uh-huh. They actually released it in episode form after releasing the movie, which is surprising at the time.
Double dip.
But that movie was at the time in Japan, it overthrew Spirited Away for biggest box office in Japan all time.
Yeah, I think it still is the highest.
I think
yeah,
it still is. I don't think anything superseded it since then.
It's incredible.
Which again,
what about the Dragon Ball Z movie that they came?
Well, there's other. There's
they,
no?
They got up there, but
they got up there. They didn't go past
but
it.
This isn't. I mean, Spirited. Yeah. I mean, Spirited Away was huge.
Oh yeah, yeah. Spirited Away.
Right? That's one of the best movies all time out of Japan. 100%. Period. Yeah. And then this superseded. I mean, there's no competition about A Spirited Away being a better movie.
Yeah,
right. But it's so fun. It was a follow up to the story, and just the animation, the sheer quality of everything we saw. The fight scene between Rengoku, kind of the fire Hashira. The Hashira are these like,
oh man, he was so cool.
Different kind of samurai that are the leaders,
the top
of the
tiers.
Demon Corp.
Yeah, like
basically the elite,
yeah,
the Super Saiyans of the Demon Corp.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call it, and they all have like their own kind of unique, different style. The fight between Rengoku, who was the fire Hashira, and that demon,
the punchy dude.
the punchy dude. There's like a, they have a name for him. The six.
It was the sixth one or the fifth one. It was like
his third one. He's the third, but
they top five or something.
Like,
yeah, top
six demons. Kind of top. They have a name for it. It's not just six.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah.
I can't remember the exact name, but like,
because like they have like the low six and the top.
Yeah, basically
six
they have a
like
top
the,
12 demons.
Yeah,
the lower six demons are kind of still super powerful compared to most guys, but kind of replaceable, and they all end up getting killed at the end of season one. By Michael Jackson, he just gets pissed off and kills them all because they're not strong enough.
Just clears the board.
Michael Jackson, like, if he gives more of his blood to the demons, they get stronger if they can actually take
if
the
they
blood.
Can handle it,
if they can handle it. Because, like, if you give too much of his blood to anybody, you instantly blow up.
Yeah, of what the hell happened.
He shares that. The person just dies.
Yeah.
Just explodes.
And the whole reason why he even is trying to make a bunch of demons is because he is just trying to go out there and walk in the sun. This is the whole reason why he's doing this.
He's a daywalker.
They kind of give a little backstory, like a flashback to his story. Basically, he kind of became sick and couldn't go in the sun. Michael Jackson vibes in the story too, you know.
A little bit. No, bullshit. Yeah.
It's not entirely off.
100%, man.
And then so instead of becoming white like Michael Jackson, he becomes a demon. Both could not go out in the sun afterwards.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So similarities don't end there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then so he becomes super powerful. He became the first demon, unkillable, immortal. I think he's hundreds, if not thousands, of years old.
Yeah, he's a couple hundred years old, and he killed the doctor that saved him.
He killed the doctor that had the medicine that was helping him.
Oh, man.
I guess function and still stay out in the sun.
Stay
human.
It's called blue spider flower or some shit like
blue
that.
Spider flower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and like the whole reason why he even made all these demons.
Miracle cures
like samurai shampoo.
Samurai shampoo.
Yeah.
Samurai with the
flower.
Smell of the sunflower seed or just like the sunflower.
Sunflower or something.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about though.
But like that's the whole reason why he's just trying to kill a bunch of people with his demons is just he's trying to get his flowers.
He does not care about any of his demon followers. They're all tools and toys to him.
Especially in that second movie. He kind of
he just destroys them all because he does not care. They're just tools for him.
Yeah.
And the only thing he cares about is being able to get back into the sun because he's so powerful and strong compared to everybody else that he just feels it's humiliating. He basically wants to take over. Right?
Yeah.
He basically wants to rule.
He wants
out
to be God.
Openly in the sun. He wants to be superior to everyone else. He's never really cared about anyone. He's never been generous or kind.
Yeah.
There's no redeeming history.
Generic bad dude that just wants to walk in the sun.
So in a sense, we're kind of leading up to like Tanjiro and friends just facing off against him. Do you think after him, like you think there's more to go?
I don't think so. Especially because so early on it started, you started with the Tanjiro kind of training up and then you started introducing those Hashiras. And having them fight the top six demons, right? So you'd have the fire Hashira against demon number three. Then season three, you had two of the other Hashiras against demons six and five and so on and so forth, right? Kind of setting those big bad guys versus the big good guys. And then now they're like, hey, wait a minute. Screw it. Let's just have a training arc. Like season four entirely has just been...
filler.
A bunch of training montages.
Okay. Yeah.
Every episode is a random training montage.
Yeah.
There's not a particularly large amount of character development. Honestly, it's been pretty bad so far.
Yeah.
Season four. Man. It's just a bunch of training montages. And then it's clear the show is gearing up towards the end of its run.
Right.
You're having this big training session so that these guys, the main guys, especially Tanjiro, can kind of get on the level of the Hashira and kind of become... They can all kind of become elite together.
Yeah.
And then it's clear it's going to be a face-off pretty soon.
A big fight.
Versus the final remaining of the top three, Suzuki's or something?
Something like that. The most interesting part about, like, the top demons, though, is demon number one, the top dude, because he also has the earring.
Yes.
That Tanjiro has.
Not only that, so he has the earring. And then they also showed this robot in season three that... looked like that demon, and it had the
earrings.
It was like
earrings.
A wooden robot.
It was supposed to be this representation, this training robot with like four or five arms, because they needed so many arms to represent how good he was. Like basically, the guy was swinging one sword, but he was so fast and quick.
It was like he's swinging like two others.
The robot swinging four swords is the closest they could get to the equivalent.
Yeah.
Right. And then the robot, not only does it has the same kind of hairdo and stuff, has the same earrings.
Yeah. Right?
So it's kind of that implication that
he's like linked to Tanjiro somehow.
That not only linked to Tanjiro, but that the number one demon was the sword fighter that Michael Jackson initially feared.
Yeah.
And was the original sunflower samurai.
Samurai dude. Yeah, who was just Michael kicking Jackson ass.
Was yeah.
Was after, okay. Okay.
So yeah. It adds a cool twist.
There's so much stuff I want to say. I can't say. Yeah, so I got to shut the fuck up.
He's right through the end of the manga. We're not going to go that. We're only going up to the end of what's shown live on TV so far. So it's only up to season 4, the Hashira training arc.
Dude. This is awesome.
Again, it's not the most well-written or best anime you'll ever see, but it is probably the most well-drawn and well-animated.
Casual and fun is the best way to describe it, and you can just really introduce it to anybody, honestly.
Yeah. Right. It's a classic hero's tale. You don't really need... It doesn't go too hard into anime tropes. There's no... Closest thing there is to an anime trope, guys, Zenitsu being the kind of lecherous, creepy...
Oh, he's great. Zenitsu is awesome.
The most interesting thing about it, though, is like whenever they get done with like a bad boss or like a demon that they kill, right at the end when the demon is dying, they always do like a backstory for like the demon.
I love those.
Which is really, really cool because most of the time I fucking hate backstories, but like their backstories like actually make sense. Just like, okay, the fight like actually had like
they have
the a meaning to it.
It was leading up to
it. It wasn't just like the fight itself because the fight itself is dope. Now that the demon is dying, you get the backstory of like what the fuck they were going through.
They were bringing into the fight. Like, yeah.
They have so these like, flashbacks where they do.
And then when you rewatch that shit, it's dope.
They do build up the demons. They had the flashback for Michael Jackson as well.
Yeah.
To kind of show how he started. Yeah. But that did not make him more. Well, usually it makes the demons more sympathetic or at least more human.
Yeah. For sure.
And they even have some of these backstories for the Hashiras as well.
Yes.
Right? Kind of gave. I thought it was particularly sad with Rengoku, where his dad was basically abusing him because of the dad feeling like a failure.
Yep.
Several things like that. You get this insight. And the one with the Mist Hashira, where his brother was like basically abusive towards him.
Yeah.
That was harsh to watch. That was a very rough.
100%.
Very difficult to watch. His brother, the guy we know on the screen getting abused by his brother, basically, for years.
And the weird thing was, because, like, for all the demons that they fought, like, all the main demons that they fought, they always had a backstory, but there was one they didn't have, and it was the dude that they had for the previous season, and he was using, like, the fish and, like, the water and stuff. Yes,
the kind of
art. And he was an asshole. Yeah, it was the art dude. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one guy of the top demons they've killed that did not have.
Yeah, did not have a backstory, which was weird because I was just like, I really wanted to know that guy's backstory.
It was also the only guy that Tanjiro hasn't killed.
Yeah, I don't think
it's entirely coincidental. I think something about Tanjiro makes. He's such an open, kind hearted, non judgmental guy.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy you automatically open up to, automatically trust.
Yeah.
I think that's part. Like, I think his willingness to see these demons that are killing humans and still try to find some humanity in them why the demons themselves kind of rediscover their soul.
Right, so before death. Yeah, right. Like right before death.
And in a way, you can kind of see as a reason why they're drawn to him, because they kind of can, in a way, sense that, because he kind of sort of like brings that.
Just like, sorry, dude, I had to take you out, but like, bro, like you're still a bro. It's all good. GG's, dude.
But let me take you out still.
We've seen a lot of happy-go-lucky anime protagonists, but Tanjiro has this pure heartedness.
He's a fluffball, man. He's just like... He's like a cinnamon roll,
He's
dude.
Not even like a... I wouldn't even call him a sucker, right? He still kills these demons. Oh,
When it has to get busy, he gets busy.
Right. Oh, he gets busy. Yeah.
He's not one of those guys that's like, oh my God, I can't do this. I'm going to cry. No, he doesn't do that. But he still has that empathy.
He's got limitless
empathy.
And he doesn't go to the dark side ever. I'm there. I'm going to kick ass. But bro, I feel bad for
you. It's an active fight, not against the demons, but against inside of him, like trying to like
he
stop
that. He doesn't have darkness within him.
No.
He doesn't have that. It can make characters more interesting when they do, because it has more of, kind of more of that arc. Because
it's got that push and pull between the light and the dark and such.
And you have that will he or won't they? Will he have those big dark moments where you give in to his darker impulses? Tanjiro pretty much never has that.
He's just trying to survive.
But he's still Something about the raw purity of his emotions makes him a compelling character regardless.
I'll still say what's thrown at him, it still allows him to at least question things. I like how he's three-dimensional in that. Yeah, he's happy and lucky, but he still absorbs what happens to him, and like he allows it to affect him, and allows him to think about things in like a roundabout way instead of the more straightforward kind of way. So I like the fact that they made him three-dimensional in that way to still combat the darkness, but still be his own guy. And like you see that come through. It's just amazing.
Or writing. Smell his way through the problem. You know what I mean?
Because he has a nose like a bloodhound.
No, it's he knows when to get bloodthirsty and when to get killing when he needs to. He's not a softy. He doesn't have those like, oh my God, what am I doing wrong?
He ain't no bitch.
Right.
He's not afraid to cry.
If you ever watched Jujutsu Kaisen where like the main guy like constantly is feeling bad about potentially killing one that might have once been human, Tanjiro does not, you know, he does not have that hesitation.
Yeah, he understands
the purity of purpose is there. Not just the purity of heart, but the purity of purpose.
For sure.
And again, makes him usually those kind of characters are frankly a little bit boring. They're a little bit one dimensional. And I don't think Tanjiro's had a strong character arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I don't know. Something about that joy of life
it's makes endearing, him compelling. Dude. Yeah.
It's like a Paddington type personality.
The interesting thing about it is, so now that the manga is actually finished, the one who wrote the manga is actually a female. I don't know if you guys knew that.
No, I didn't know that.
And I think she's one of the first female ones that's like really been famous since the show Sailor Moon, if I'm not mistaken.
I knew she's young. She's like not much older than us.
So like I'm really excited for her to like work on her next stuff. She probably already is. I just don't know what it is because I don't keep up with it all the time.
Yeah.
But she did a really good job for her first big one. She did really good.
It does seem a little bit with this arc, and my buddy who's read the manga kind of told me, Jim, friend of the show, Jim.
Yeah.
This arc sucks.
this arc is not the best, and it seems like the show just wants to get to the end. Because early on, it kind of seemed like we might have several seasons of like, okay, here's the main demon bad guy, and here's the Hashira who's going to fight him.
Yeah.
And frankly, it was so fun. I probably wouldn't have minded a couple extra ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It just,
this is like a filler arc. It just seems
to the point where it's like, okay, you know, let's get past the mysteries. Let's get past some of this lore.
Yeah.
Let's get past some of the character building. Let's just get to the end.
Yeah.
Let's just get to the end. And I don't... Too many shows stay longer than they need to.
Yeah.
Too many shows hang on when they just need to get to the end.
Yeah.
Inuyasha is my number one all time, where it felt like they were getting towards the end. What was that? With the guy with the mask? You know, I'm talking about the main villain.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his name.
With an N. He had an N in his name, I believe. Man. You know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
The shapeshifter who was kind
of... Naraku. Naraku.
They were building right up to him being the main villain. Yeah. And, like, kind of really
his brother was the most interesting villain, actually.
His brother was also super interesting as a kind of a anti-hero slash villain.
Yeah.
Anti-villain. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, to extend it, we're just going to have villains of the week for like... 30 different episodes.
Yep. And then they made the movie at the end.
Finally. Yeah, like no, they didn't. They literally stopped all the momentum of the show.
Yes,
all momentum multiple of the show times. Just to have random like, oh, here's the boss of the week.
And then he got away. And then he got away again. Naraku got away again. Yeah. Oh, gosh, darn it.
And then they even stopped showing Naraku. Like, oh, I served Naraku, but they didn't even show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It got rough.
Yeah, it got rough.
So I definitely appreciate. Sometimes it feels the shows end a little too fast. But I definitely appreciate a show and knowing when to end.
Yeah.
And knowing when they're starting to run out of ideas and going ahead and ending it.
For sure. They've already set everything up and just get it rolling.
Then just milking it.
Yeah.
And trying to just squeeze in more arcs and more channels and more chapters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess to close out, so the artist name of Demon Slayer name is Koyoharu Gotouge. She's an amazing artist, so just wanted
she's
to
dope.
Shout out her name so people know her because this is groundbreaking stuff she did because how influential this will be. I think moving forward, I think Demon Slayer will probably influence a new wave of animators and just people that will just do crazier stuff within the medium. So, you know, just shout out to her and just what she's doing with this property. But yeah, dude.
Yeah, no, awesome. Definitely. Definitely highly recommend this show.
100%.
Definitely highly recommend
it. It's casual. Just watch it with your girl. Watch it with your boy.
It's the kind of show you don't have to be deeply into anime or really be super into anime tropes to enjoy. right? There's no weird fan service, and there's no, it doesn't get corny and stuff. You know, it's a fun show. But okay, speaking of some more anime, we have to do our one-shot review. We will just,
one opportunity.
I don't know if you've heard some of the recent episodes. We'll have to call you out.
No, I haven't even been able to listen to my basketball podcast, actually. I've been so goddamn busy. Oh, but Kosi did say about the show that you guys watched. I think it was the first episode you guys were about to talk about.
So yes. We'll give you a quick rundown and a reminder for the listeners at home. So one shot, basically, if you see here are Wheel Ollie back here behind Kosi.
I've been eyeing that wheel this entire time, actually, with Hulu, Crunchy, Tubi.
The way it works, we spin the wheel. Is for a streaming service.
Crunchy, so
in this case, we would be with Crunchyroll. And then we do a second spin for genres. So in this case, it would be reality/documentary.
Oh, shit.
I don't know how well that works for Crunchyroll.
Usually, I would do a respin on that.
Maybe. Yeah, well, we're just showing you an example.
Okay. So I was about to say, that's for real, for real.
We messed up last week, but the order we're going to go in is 1 week, we spin.
Yeah.
We look at that, come up with a show based on the criteria of the spins.
Okay.
And then the next week, we review it on here.
Got it. I like that.
We spun with Jim, again, 2 weeks ago. We messed up last week. And so this week, we're reviewing the show we spun for.
Gotcha.
Right? So now the show is called...
Yeah, it's called Sound Euphonium.
Sound Euphonium. It's a quick rundown. Basically, a euphonium, first of all, it seems to be an instrument, like a small, not small, like medium-sized brass instrument, right? Like a smaller tuba is what it seems to be implied in the show. Basically, it seems like a kind of a coming-of-age show for young girls coming into high school, and they were all in the band club, the orchestra band.
Concert band.
That's what they call it. Concert band.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like classical music, but with with brass instruments and stuff. Basically we see these girls. We're introduced to the main characters. We're shown how they become friends on the first day of high school. You know, very basic stuff. And then they show how they're all going to join the at the moment pretty crappy band of the high school. The main girl and some other girl that she was formerly friends with was on the middle school band, and they were pretty good, but they were disappointed because they didn't make it all the way to nationals. This new band that they're school with sucks. They're like barely even competitive. Right? They're like amazing to make nationals, and these guys aren't even like close. And
I immediately thought about Glee when he said nationals, dude.
Kind of Glee vibes. Yeah, like a Glee anime kind of vibes.
Okay.
And then, that's the gist of the show. We just, first episode is just basically introducing the characters, introducing that they like the band, introducing us to the main girls that are going to be, you know, the characters, you know, the main characters the show goes on with. One or two guys kind of give us a little more variety, but it's a very much coming of age for young girls type show.
Is there like a romance in the show whatsoever, music?
It seems like maybe there's a few small hints of this guy who's known the main girl forever potentially being a love interest, but nothing overt.
Overt. The animation looks fun off the posters, but go ahead, Kosi.
Yeah, just piggybacking off Juan said. Yeah, it's one of those shows where we're clearly not the target audience, but I do appreciate just what they're doing in this. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like almost like a Haikyuu.
I feel like our wags or wives and girlfriends would sports terminology.
Yeah.
Remember that, the wags?
No, but I like it.
Yeah, that's how they describe the wives and girlfriends of sports players. I feel like, you know, my wife would probably enjoy this a little more.
Yeah.
So you guys would not continue to watch it?
No, yeah.
Off of what you guys watched?
Well, hold on. Just one second, Juan. So, like, going back to, like, just my review of it, I think what was cool about this show still was they showcased everyone had, like, their own little, like, instrument and, like, almost like a team. Almost like a Power Rangers or, like, Sailor Moon type team. Like, hey, I play this, I play that, and we're all going to come together.
Okay.
Was, again, it kind of reminded me of, like, a little bit of a Haikyuu, but would I watch it? Not really. Like, it's cool for what it was. I like what they did.
It's just not your taste.
Yeah.
It seems like a charming... Yeah. Cute show. It's just
you're not the target audience.
I mean, again, yeah. Like, you know, there's plenty of shows and movies with women-led shows and movies that are great for everyone. Yeah. This just seems like a show that's very much intended for girls
for the female
about
audience.
Like the kind of high school experience, the women audience.
But it's done well.
So it's done well. Yeah. Those characters done well. Seem fun. I mean, I wouldn't.
Is there comedy in it? Not really. Or is it like super serial?
Not super serial, but
almost
it's just,
super serial. It's but it's very earnest and straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more drama based and like again, it's a comedy, but it's not a comedy.
Yeah.
It's not goofy.
Okay.
I'm sure there'll be some comedy, but it's not like goofy.
But it didn't have the pull for you guys.
It seems like a quality. It seems like it'll be quality. I almost was curious, but it didn't quite pull me in. And it
fair
really
enough.
Frankly, almost seems creepy to watch. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like you got to watch it with your girlfriend or wife if you want to watch it.
Right. Yeah, watch it with them, and I'll be like on the phone on the side or something.
I would watch it alone.
It seems a little bit like weird to watch the show. About,
did you guys watch it dubbed or did you guys watch
the
sub?
Yeah, watch
the sub.
It seems a little weird to watch a show about, you know, 15-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Entering high school and like...
Yeah.
It's just really not meant for us.
Yeah.
So again, you know, I've seen like shows like Suzume movies like Suzume or My Name or different things that are centered on girls a lot. But
Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
But it's more universal.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, for sure.
This just seems like it's very clearly aimed at people who are either in high school or reminiscing about their high school experience.
As far as the spin to win, so you guys, landed on Crunchyroll, I'm guessing?
Yeah,
and then
on drama? Drama or reality.
Drama or reality? Okay.
Yeah. No, but last week.
So if it was drama. So...
Yeah.
And then, like, how did you guys end up on that one particular show out of everything?
We just pull up we just go up to a streaming service, pull up that genre.
Yeah.
Usually they have
it. And just go from there.
By genre. Jim helped us pick. Jim happened to be here.
Okay.
So Jim told us to put that show on for...
So what are you guys going to do now for next week now?
So every week we either spin or review. Right.
Got it.
Right. So next week we do a real spin for the next show.
Okay. Right? So I missed the spin, is what you're telling me, bro?
Yes, you missed the spin.
God.
You got the review though.
No, you got the review. Okay.
But maybe next time. Yeah.
Okay. all right.
We'll have you on twice in a row.
All right.
You get the full experience. But yeah, so that's our one shot review for this week. So good show if you're into, you know, high school girl kind of drama, you know, coming of age tale. If not, probably not for you.
All right.
But a well made for what it was. And charming and very cute. But yeah, so to end it off, we're going to go to Plug of the Week. All right, so Ali, guest first. What's your plug of this week?
Oh, man. I mean, the only thing that I've been watching recently... Dude, Baki, guys. You guys should watch Baki.
Yeah, you told me about that earlier.
You were mentioning that before
Baki,
the show. So.
Baki's not been out like for a while on Netflix.
Give us
the insight is like, essentially, it's this guy. His name is Baki, essentially. And he was born originally from his dad just because his dad just wanted a strong son to beat him up. Mm-hmm. And his dad is considered the strongest being in the world, to the point where he is considered as strong as an army of a country with his bare hand. Jeez. And it's a
superpower
martial art kind of world, okay, as far as that's concerned. And it does, I guess, the way that the show and the manga is written, it's like it's really super ridiculous. But because the writer believes in it, it starts to want to make you believe in it, almost like the MGS style, like with this bullshit, but they take it super seriously. So you're like, okay, I could kind of believe in this story, like this bullshit that you guys are talking about. And essentially, Baki, the overarching story of it is Baki is trying to get as strong as his dad and just trying to beat up his dad. Okay. But outside of that, there are so many different kind of fighters in the show where they just compete like karate versus like kung fu, for example, and like the way that they study it and fight. And it's a super alpha show. It's only for the dudes. It's a bunch of fucking buff dudes that are just trying to beat up on each other, is the best way to put it. And the main character is like 18 years old, but everybody else is like 20s and 30s, and they've been studying all this art of whatever that they're trying to do, like whatever kind of style that they have as far as their fight. And it's just a fun show. And with the anime, as far as it's concerned, on Netflix, I think up to the manga is like 300 chapters in, so it's pretty far in. Jeez. But where it starts, it's called, I think the arc is called The Most Dangerous Villain Arc. And essentially, it's about five different prisoners that are on death row that they break out all at the same time, and they go to Japan essentially, and they want to taste defeat. That's how it starts. And then all the fighters that were already there in Japan who were part of the underground ring tournament, which was the previous arc, they go against these guys, and these guys don't care about rules or anything. They'll just like randomly show up, beat the fuck out of each other, fucking stab people and shit. It's really fucking, it's metal.
Like Dragon Ball Z a little bit?
No. No, not at all. No, it's super gory. Oh. It's super gory, and they cuss a lot, and they just, it's just a bunch of fucking random fights, and it's testosterone as hell. Super alpha. It's probably the most alpha male show as far as the anime is concerned, and it is super original, because like it's not about like an overarching arc or a theme of the show. It's just about the art of what they believe in, and they just clash against each other with their fights. And you just want to see what the fuck happens next, because it's just always about the next fight. And that's all it is. It's a fighting show all the way.
I'm looking at pictures of it right now. This is crazy.
Yeah. And whenever like a big hit basically happens, the narrator really takes the cake. Because he'll like explain like in detail of like, this punch was made because of this and blah, blah, blah. Right? Like it just like goes super in depth about how this style of fight is against the other one, and it's just super alpha. That's all I can say about it. But I highly recommend you guys watch it, because it's just a fun fucking watch.
Where can we find it at? Like
what? It's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Yeah, it's on Netflix. And now they have like five seasons. The first three seasons is just called Baki, and then the other one, which is the sequel for it, is called Baki Hanma, the Son of the Ogre.
All right.
And watch the first episode, and you guys tell me what you think, because like I'm really curious what you guys think about it, because like it is super metal.
Right on. Okay.
All right. Cozy. Okay. Plug of the week.
Let me see. So yeah, my plug of the week will be an album I've been listening to for the past like couple weeks now. It's Donald Glover's Childish Gambino's latest album called Atta Vista. So you know he had a little bit of an up and down, just, you know, career. I won't say up and down, but just a career that had a lot of highs. But he kind of just kind of chilled out for a little bit now. And this album is the first one he's released in 4 years since his last album, 3/15/20. Atta Vista, it's just kind of almost like a return to form for Glover. He has a lot of just great people just that are appearing on his album. So from Ariana Grande to 21 Savage. One of my favorite composers, Ludwig Göransson, who actually made the beat for Redbone, one of Childish's biggest hits, comes back on this. So no, it's just a great album, a great like summertime album. I've been listening to it a lot for the past couple weeks. Just a big fan of his work. And, you know, yeah, just been on rotation on my iPod. So Atta Vista from Childish Gambino is my plug.
I actually want to check that out because that guy is a genius. Yeah. I love all of his albums.
He's great.
I got to check it out. I didn't know this came out.
Yeah, man.
It came out like, May 13th, 2024.
Yeah, over a month. So, yeah, it's yeah. Great stuff. All right, Juan, well, pass it on to you, brother.
Okay. So for my plug of the week, I'm going to plug something that Ali originally plugged to me. Kind of reminded me when we started talking about Baki. Not quite the same thing, but some vibes. Hunter x Hunter.
Oh hell yeah, bro! That's my favorite right, anime. Actually,
Hunter x Hunter.
It's a great pull.
All right, okay. So Hunter x Hunter. At its core, at the beginning of the story, the concept is this young boy got abandoned by his father. Shout out to Kosi.
Yep. Shouts out to me.
GG's, bro. Yeah. He's worse than Goku. There's nobody worse than Goku, but this guy is.
So this dude gets abandoned by his father. So the story he gets told is that his father went to join the hunters, which in this case are kind of this elite monster hunting / treasure hunting kind of organization. And so the kid's name is Gon. And basically, dude comes up, like his dad left him, you know, the equivalent of, oh, hey, I'm gonna go buy some cigarettes and never came back.
Oh, man, he left to get milk and never came back.
Except, Gon, instead of saying, oh, hey, my dad went to get cigarettes and never came back, what a shithead, he says, man, my dad went to get cigarettes and never came back. I gotta go try me some cigarettes. That must be some hot shit. That must be some amazing shit.
Give me some of that right
there. If it's worth leaving me for. Man, he abandoned his whole kid for cigarettes. Man, that's gotta be some great cigarettes. I'm gonna go try some of these cigarettes. So Gon tries to go become a hunter. Not even explicitly.
I'm sorry, Juan. Was his dad, so for his dad's version of cigarettes was to go monster hunting?
It's not. They're called hunters. They're not really just monster hunters.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's like a profession.
Okay.
They're like bounty hunters or like task people. They do different things.
It's a license you essentially get as a hunter, and whenever you do get that, you get a lot of freedom throughout the world. Essentially, you could go like on planes for free. Like you could go a bunch of like you could. Make a shitload of money.
Kind
of
special
like
ops kind of people.
Okay. Yeah. Like you get like special kind of privileges essentially being a hunter, and they also, well, continue. Yeah.
They do monster hunt and chase treasures and like search for interesting things. Okay. They don't have like a one thing they do. They're like, they're all doing different things.
Everything.
Yeah. Some of them are like scientists. Some of them are trying to help the world. Some of them are just want power and money.
Yep.
There's no like set.
Some just want to fight, just for the fuck of it.
Like fighting just to get stronger. There's no set rule you have to be as a hunter. You can do anything you want as a hunter. Some people just want revenge, for like to avenge their family or whatever, right? But it's like a powerful one. You have to be incredibly powerful just to become a hunter, and then you will get like as much privileges and stuff for becoming a hunter. So yeah, Gon's dad left to become a hunter, and then Gon's like, yeah. Because I gotta go become a hunter. Just again, not to find his dad. Explicitly, he tells everybody around him, hey, I'm not doing this to. Not even that he hates on him. He's just like, I don't know if this is even gonna find me him. But, I mean, I just wanna see what it's like because, damn, this guy abandoned me to become a hunter. I mean, that means.
I want a cigarette, bro.
It must be some good cigarettes.
let me get on that.
Hunter must be some good cigarettes. I swear to God, that's the concept of the show. And then, you know, he. Honestly, what makes the show fun is that one, it's kind of lore and I don't know gimmicks like the little fighting forms or powers they have.
Nen,
I know they're called Nen. It's like chakra almost or like you know what I mean. They're similar to other stuff, but they all have like their own unique kind of Nen superpowers. But the cool thing about it is that the show goes to a lot of effort to explain this stuff in depth. And then it doesn't ignore it later on.
No.
It's not like some of these shows
they build on it.
where they say, oh, hey, here's this complex lore for how Super Saiyans work. And then in season 5, they're just like, oh, screw it. You can just go Super Saiyan whenever, and it doesn't matter. We're just going to do stuff that's cool and convenient.
The scaling of power is crazy.
Yeah, no, in this show, they're like, hey, you remember in season 2 when we explained to you that you could only use this type of power if you have this type of Nen? Mm-hmm. Well, we meant that shit. So now, 4 seasons later, you know, we're going to build on that specific rule and show you how far you can get.
Okay.
Right? And teach you even more bullshit with it.
Yeah, so, but like, like the stuff adds on to the previous stuff. Another cool thing is that each arc, like, just kind of throws away. Not quite throws away, but it's like, okay, hey, you know, we finished the arc where he becomes a hunter. Okay, now we're going to do this different arc where he gets money and becomes a strong fighter. Oh, he's getting to the top of the fighting tournament and becoming one of the best fighters? Okay, screw it. They just wanted some money. Let's just go leave and go do something else now. Okay. It's just like every season is totally like... Like Whiplash.
Different feel completely. Whiplash,
kind of like, wait, what? Okay. What's
happening? To this? Yeah.
Okay. How do we get to this? Some of them do, like, so there's some continuation of the overarching storylines, but you do get a little bit of Whiplash. Like, oh, we were about to, like, fight this one bad guy, and now we're in an entirely different section of the world. Yep. Nothing to do with the pre. What?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I should ask one. How far did you get into the show? Because it's like 148 episodes.
I watched the Chimera.
My man.
The Chimera Ant.
Hell yeah.
Eric is one of the most bad shit, insane Holy things I've ever seen on television. Dude,
this guy's not a skip bitch like I am. He'll watch the whole thing.
It's 60. Okay, so each arc is kind of like a season, kind of.
Yep.
And like it's the equivalent. So most of the arcs are like, some of them are 20 episodes, some of them are 10 episodes, one of them is like 25. And then one of the arcs is 65 episodes.
Which is the Chimera Ant arc, which is basically the second to last arc.
Oh, wow.
Second
to
last arc. And it's just massive. And you think it's going to be ridiculous. I actually was scared it was going to be one of those filler villain of the week type arcs. But no, they just... I mean, they probably could have cut a few of the episodes. But they go all the fuck out.
Yeah, they go all the fuck out. All the
fuck out on everything. They even have like a nuclear arm... allegory because it's Japan, so Japan is a very fraught relationship with nuclear
North Korea BS as well, like as far as because I don't know if you remember they get into the North Korea bullshit crazy. They go like really really in depth stuff.
They have like this chess kind of thing. It's a fascinating show. It's a fascinating show.
By far my favorite anime, bar none. That's my number one anime.
Favorite. Okay. I don't think I'd call it my favorite, but it's excellent. It's probably Attack on Titan is going to stay my favorite.
That's fair, man. I get that.
Yeah, where can I find Hunter x Hunter?
Crunchyroll. And I think Netflix has at least... I think actually Netflix has the whole thing.
They have all of it. Same goes to Hulu as well.
Yeah, and I think Netflix has the whole thing. Yeah. You got to watch out with Netflix. Sometimes they'll have... Like with Inuyasha, they only have the arcs... up to or like when we were talking about where like Neruko's like building up and building up, and then they don't have like the later ones where it's a bunch of filler episodes. So sometimes Netflix does that. You gotta be careful with Netflix
just to make sure.
Or like Attack on Titan, for a long time they had like
just one
like
season, two seasons
like 2 seasons behind. So people were catching up to the new stuff, or like you started watching on Netflix, you suddenly be like, oh, suddenly this ran out, and suddenly no, there's still plenty of content left.
Okay,
I would for sure say like you can watch it dubbed or sub. They're both amazing.
I always watch stuff sub.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. Except for some of the nostalgic stuff that I watch as a kid.
Like Dragon Ball Z. Vegeta.
I can't go back and watch
Trigun. Like stuff like that.
Samurai X. We talked about it.
Samurai.
It's a different name, but it's called Samurai X in Spanish. That's probably.
It was Rurouni Kenshin. Yeah, we should have a remake of that show right now out.
Really? I watched. I watched that dubbed in Spanish. I'm trying to watch that with like the girly ass Japanese.
I feel you on that.
I watched that like Toonami.
Gotcha.
And back in the day, that was another like small little plug. That was a fun show, honestly.
For sure.
For the time. For nowadays, it's a little.
This
little
is dated. The anime episode though for you guys, I guess.
We had another one with Jim. We had a big favorites all time.
Okay. Low key's the second one.
We liked the anime stuff, and we liked like it. Sports conference. You missed our sports ball last week when we did a final discussion.
Who'd you guys talk about?
The Celtics versus...
No. Like, who was a guest?
It was just
you two? Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Our guest bailed last minute. You couldn't make it. You were busy.
Yeah, I was busy. Yeah, I was busy last week.
And our replacement guest bailed last minute. I mean, it's not his fault. He's got busy with work.
Yeah, that's fair.
And yeah, this ain't none of our day jobs, y'all. This ain't
yeah.
You gotta work. We gotta work for a living.
Yeah, for realsies, dude.
Nah, but
yeah, man, Ali, love having you here.
Hey, thanks for coming, bud.
Excellent fucking love plug, Juan.
Yeah,
of excellent course, fucking
yeah,
plug.
Dude. I love thanks, the discussion Kosey. As
appreciate
always.
It, brother. Good plug with Donald Glover, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, like again, man, and thank you, Ali, thank you, Juan, and also thank you, listeners. Once again, listeners, thank you very much for listening to the show. You can find us on Spotify under It Was Mooney. Just search that. You can also please like and subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. We can find this podcast along with other content on there. So I've been Kosey, joined by Juan, and of course our awesome studio.
Yes, guest, sir. Appreciate Ali. Y'all. Thank until you next, so much, y'all.
Until next time, guys. Peace.
Adios.